How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 195 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page, or find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com as well. You can check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there, and I'm going to have stuff up there during the offseason. I'm starting up on a player preview, day-by-day player preview, where I'm going to be doing what players did this season, what's coming in the offseason for them, all that kind of stuff. Going to be doing a player a day starting at some point really soon. Have stuff up on the site after Sam Presti's Monday press conference there right now. Remember, I'm on every day of the week still, Monday through Friday. That's going to change at some point in the offseason, probably at some point soon. For now, though, I've got a guest. I've got John Hamm, and there's no one else here. It's just John Hamm on the podcast. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Fred. How are you and only you doing?
I'm great. Good. You know, I just figured that the two of us and only the two of us could have a conversation about Sam Presti's exit interview from earlier today, which went an hour long.
Well, in order to have an intelligent conversation, it just needs to be you and I.
Right. No,
people have heard plenty of intelligent conversations between the two of you. Let's add some spice, for God's sakes.
Look who decided to come on the podcast.
Wow, what a treat this is. This is fantastic.
All right, so if you have listened to the podcast before, you know that John has been on, he's now 18 times, John.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's the 18th time, so for John's lucky number 18, we will always reference that John's co-host of the NBA Insider Show over at the Franchise 107.7 is Jerry Ramsey, and we've made it a very, very intentional decision here at the Locked On Podcast Network to make sure Jerry never comes on. But somehow, as he always does, Jerry has barged his head in on a conversation where he's not wanted, and now he's on the podcast. So welcome, John Hamm and Jerry Ramsey.
I'll tell you what, that Vladimir guy that I paid $50 to hack this thing, it really did pay off. Hey, thanks, comrade, if you're listening.
I'm sure that Locked On Thunder is got a heavy subscriber base that part of the world.
This is, doesn't matter. This is obviously the last ever episode of Locked On Thunder. it's done. I'm getting the email from David Locke after this, and he's like, oh, you let that guy on, it's over. It's some sort of thing.
Like, try to follow me. I'm like the Jimi Hendrix. I'm like the Jimi Hendrix Who thing. Just try to follow each other. You can't do it. I'm going to set the guitar on fire. Let's get this going.
All right. So Jerry, you seem to have thoughts. What was your reaction to, I mean, Sam Presti went on for an hour today. You talked about continuity with the team and keeping the core together, though he didn't say that second part explicitly. He did talk about continuity within the roster, how much youth is on the roster. He talked a little bit about Westbrook extensions, though he didn't say all that much about it. Talked about how Andre Robertson had indicated to him that he wanted to return and how contracts are easier to get done when that's the case. Talked about some more stuff, too. What stood out to you after that presser?
I think my favorite part of this, and this is you know, whenever the Sam Presti exit interview happens, you always think to yourself, oh my gosh, get ready for a roller coaster of emotions and excitement. What really stuck out to me was him saying on a number of times, we're not going to take, we're not going to have simple answers for very complex situations. And that kind of, it warmed my heart, because that was me talking to every single ex-athlete that I talked to this season about the Thunder. Everything was, we're not going to have simple answers for complex situations. And to hear Sam Presti say that, it was like he reached inside my soul, like killing me softly with his song. That's the number one thing I take away from it. The number two thing, I really did, and Fred, you might laugh at this, I really did think towards the end there, I don't know if he was like powering down or what was going on, but he showed a little bit of personality that people say he doesn't have. Talking about the people who approach him at a grocery store and have ideas on how to solidify the backup point guard. I mean, I thought that was kind of funny, and that was really humorous and funny coming from Sam Presti. So I took those two things away, and then the rest of it was just him doing what he does and him doing what he does best, and that is answering comprehensively what he thinks the question that was asked to him, and giving us two or three paragraphs to have to transcribe if we felt so.
And, he also, I actually am not laughing at you. I agree with you. He did show some personality. There was the grocery store line where he talked about, someone asked him about the backup point guard, and he said that he's been approached about the backup point guard many times by people at grocery stores.
Yep.
And that was funny. He also had a little quip about Adam Silver and cap spikes.
I love that one.
Yeah. I asked him, do you ever get frustrated when people out there think that you can snap your fingers all of a sudden and everything's fixed? And he, in the middle of his answer, I mean, he gave like a four paragraph answer, but in the middle of it, he said, and you know, I'll tell them, look, the first thing I'm going to do is go back to the office and call Adam Silver and see if he can erase one of those, and see if he can erase one of those caps. But that's not right. Erase. ASAP did not. There's this transcribing service that they have for Sam Presti press conferences, and erase, it should be raise. Raise one of those cap spikes. Erase doesn't make sense.
Even the transcriber got bored.
That was the last question of the day, and he had gone for an hour, and the transcriber was just like, I don't even think it was the transcriber. I think it was the transcriber's fingertips were like, nope.
No.
So the
just
quote
no.
is, the quote is, and you know, I tell them, look, the first thing I'm going to do is go back to the office and call Adam Silver, see if he can raise one of those cap spikes, you know, once he says, because those tend, I'm learning those things to come in handy. It's not quite as good when it's written down, is it?
Right.
It's a lot better when
you
said it. You
guys got to see the video. Yeah.
I know you're a big...
He did have a good cap spike joke. It's the first time I've ever heard a cap spike joke in my life. I'll give you that.
You're a big stand-up comedian guy, and you know if you had to explain the joke, it's not good. So, yeah, you kind of killed that one, Fred. That was not good.
You know what? It wasn't my joke, so I don't care. I don't care.
Tell it with a little heart, you know, if you're going to tell it. At least give it the respect the joke takes. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Cap spike joke doesn't really deserve that much heart. That's fine. John, what'd you take away from this?
Oh, I mean, you mentioned, like Sam talked about, continuity. And that is an important thing. And it's one of the things that I've seen people already kind of lampoon. But it does matter. I mean, it's... Unless you're bringing in LeBron James, it usually takes chemistry a while to develop with the team, right? To go from wherever you are to NBA finals. So, yeah, the continuity matters. It's always mattered to this team. And like you said, I'm glad you clarified, Fred. It doesn't mean that everything stays the same. It means, you know, your core pieces stay together, and then your fringe pieces are going to rotate. So I thought that was a big deal. I think reminding people that this is a young team. The blowback on that is, I mean, there's people that they're less than convinced about the young talent on the team. And I understand that, you know, to a degree. I understand where there's some skepticism, but, you know, like I'm going back and look at the 2009-2010 New Jersey Nets team, which had a very young team. But the young talent on that team outside of Brooke Lopez was Terrence Williams, Yi Jian Leon, Sean Williams, Chris Douglas Roberts, Chris Humphries, like the Thunder have better young talent than that. So it's somewhere between that and say 2009 Thunder, which had obviously all these all-stars that were coming up through the pipes.
Jerry, are you driving a monster truck in the middle of the Amazon right now? What is that background noise?
I had to step outside for a second. I'm in the luxurious Ramsey backyard and just I just check a couple of things. It's okay. It's nature. I know a guy from New York that has I believe it, what, 52 million people, like in an 8-block radius. Like, you're not used to hearing like crickets and stuff, and it's weird.
Are those crickets, or is that just the crowd at one of your stand up events?
Nice. That is very, very nice. That was a setup too. That was very, very nice.
Yeah.
I am watching two rabbits right now. It looks like
no more. Say no more.
It looks like they're playing hopscotch, but they got in the middle of the hop there. So I'm going to let them be and go about my business, but I'm going to come back in. No, it's fine. It's fine. There we go. We're back in the luxurious innards of the Ramsey estate. So
I do, John, I do think that the continuity is the main thing to take away from this. I'm with you. I mean, there's obviously a lot, and he mentioned stuff with the Westbrook extension, which we can get to in a little bit, but he mentioned continuity a lot, and he mentioned valuing the young core of the team, and mentioned a couple of times that they were the youngest team in the playoffs, that they were the third youngest Thunder team ever. 2009, 2010 are the only two Thunder teams that are older than this year's team. And that's something that Presti really values. It's something he's valued all year, kind of the youth on the team, that Steven Adams is still only 23 years old, and Oladipo's 24, Kanter's 24, Abrines 23, Jeremy Grant's 23. Like, these are guys in their early 20s who can continue to develop. And even if they just kind of go about their off seasons normally and nothing really changes schematically or strategically in next year's team, like, guys presumably are going to improve, because like a 23-year-old probably gets better to a degree. And I think that's something that he really values. Now, I think they're going to go out and try to get shooting. And I think they're going to have a different situation at backup point guard next year. And I think it seems to me, if I had to predict, I think they're going to try to get a stretch four. That's what I think is going to try to be the move. Unless they really, really believe that Domantas Sabonis is going to come in next year and be at least a 35% three-point shooter on a decent amount of threes, I think there's a chance they go out and try to get a stretch four from maybe the mid-level exception or something like that. I think that's a real possibility. And maybe they try to bring in shooting in other ways if they can't find good value at that position. But for the most part, I think this core, there's going to be continuity in the core. And I think that's something that Presti does value, and it's something that he really made a point of showing today. Right, Jerry?
Well, he better believe in the continuity. He paid for it. Like, he put the big contracts out for Adams. He put the big contract out for Oladipo. He gave up a veteran to go get Grant. And then, too, with your stretch fours that you're talking about, even talked about Enes Kanter looking to make him shoot more threes next season. So, yeah, I mean, this is what he's put, his money where his mouth is. He really has. He went out and signed these guys. And, you know, this is a car salesman tactic where he's letting me know what he's thinking by telling me about all this continuity. The truth of the matter is, this was, what, the youngest team in the playoffs, third youngest team in the NBA? And, yeah. I mean, and then I think, too, you could hear a little bit of the foreshadowing when he says what you want to do is stay championship, and I'm paraphrasing, championship competitive for, 5 or 6 years, and then not spend too much time out of the playoffs to rebuild to get to that, situation again. Well, he's not there yet. He hasn't been out of the playoffs yet. But you can hear him sort of foreshadowing, like hoping this isn't a turn he's going to have to take with these young guys that he paid.
I think the Kanter three-pointers is interesting. I wonder how much, because he really praised Kanter's offensive game. He praised his attitude in staying ready, during that Houston series when, he was not in a position to get minutes. And I think you could argue he even got too many minutes when he was playing so few minutes already. He played up Kanter a lot, his offensive ability. And we can all agree Enes Kanter is a great offensive player. That's not the issue with Enes Kanter. He's a great scorer. But he talked about his great hands and that he thinks he's going to be a three-point shooter. And I don't necessarily think he's being dishonest when he says that. John, give me a percentage. How much of that comment is him genuinely believing that's the case and that's what Enes Kanter is going to do no matter what? And how one percentage of that comment is, I got to say this because this is how I'm going to sell Kanter to guys when I try to play him on the market this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it, 50-50? Or, it's just one of those things where one statement is obviously made to accomplish many things at once. That's what I thought as well, and I'm not alone, because people a lot smarter than me came along after that and you know, made that observation that, yeah, this is, you know, this is trying to refurbish your product. Basically, you shipped out the iPod, it got to the customer, they sent it back, you got to refurbish it and resell it somehow, right? And after that, you know, after Cantor playing the way he did in that first round series, which, you know, is a small sample size, but still, you know, whatever damage that might have done, I think this was trying to shine that up a little bit.
Jerry, what are your percentages?
On what, Cantor being a three-point shooter next year?
No, I'm glad you're listening. But on
sorry, Don Henley was on television. Sorry.
On,
go ahead.
On what percentage? You know what? Never mind. Let's move on.
No, what percentage is that? What percentage is Sam Presti selling Enes Kanter?
Yeah, and what percentage is he genuine, saying what he genuinely believes?
If it's said in earnest, you know what, Fred? As long as I've covered Sam Presti, it's both the same. I honestly believe it's both the same. There is no percentage. He's a complex guy. He's the color wheel. You get what I'm saying? He honestly believes that they can make Enes Kanter into what they want to make him. Look what they did with Serge Ibaka. And if you inquire about him, he's going to get on the phone and tell you that same excitement he has about the guy that he wants to keep. But for the right price, I mean, I'll let him go. I mean, the car salesman. I mean, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have a polo shirt tucked into your khaki pants to be a car salesman. There's some smart car salesmen out there. They sell Jaguars and smart cars.
and also you'll notice that he was still talking up Cameron Payne today, like, yep, you know, 2 months after the trade. So,
well, he's always going to talk up Cameron Payne because that's what he said at the time of the trade.
Yep.
And you know what? I think he does believe that. You know why? Because he did draft him in the lottery.
See?
Right.
It's so, both. It's in earnest and to do a sales job.
That being said, the Bulls had Cameron Payne inactive for games even after Rondo got hurt. And it was like,
What was he, fifth point guard in that series? No, fifth string point guard at that
they
point.
Even have so many point guards.
Rajon Rondo, Michael Carter-Williams, Isaiah Cannon, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Paul Zipser, Robin Lopez.
Yeah, they're playing Robin Lopez's adorable dog named Muppet, by the way.
Well, there's no true one anymore, Fred. They're positionless basketball.
Exactly.
This is something you need to learn going forward into the future. That is just because a guy brings a ball up, he's not, you know, he's not necessarily the point guard. He's just the guy bringing the ball up, starting the offense.
Did you guys see Robin Lopez brought his dog to exit interviews the other day?
I did not.
There are photos. I think it's on Sean Hykins on his Twitter. I've never seen a person who looks so much like his dog. They look exactly alike.
Was it I Love You Man, where Anwar Sadat is the dog that looked like the former Egyptian leader, Anwar Sadat?
I don't remember. But I have seen that movie. That movie's hilarious, but I don't remember that joke.
Yes. Who did Anwar Sadat play for? Was he drafted by the
Sixers? He was a side piece brought with Manute Bol for the Sixers. That later moved to Golden State where Sadat couldn't shoot threes and Bol could, so they kept Bol.
Oh, that Sadat. Okay. Okay. I got it.
Okay, so I'm gonna read this quote. And every time Sam Presti speaks, I feel like there's one quote which like you feel like you could have ripped out of a fortune cookie, right? This one, right. This one is like, no, but this one is like super profound. And I think this is a great quote. I got like super excited when he said this. I was like, ooh, I'm legitimately inspired right now. So the question was, at least according to the ASAP transcription, is there any urgency in that process, which is just a process of trying to add people around Russell Westbrook? Is there any urgency in the process of trying to add people around Russell Westbrook? For as long as the team is, Russell will be 29 in November. Is there any urgency in the process? He gave about two sentences, and then he said, but I think being urgent is less important than being accurate. And so there's not a lot of reward for enthusiasm and recklessness. I love that quote. I think that's wonderful.
That's pretty good.
I think that's a great way to live. I think that's great advice for journalists in 2017.
Tell that to Foreigner, whose one of their biggest hits was Urgent.
Being urgent is less important than being accurate.
I'm sorry, urgent emergency. It was a huge hit for the guys.
I think that's a great quote.
Look, one reward for what did you say? Urgency and what?
Enthusiasm? Isn't that what it is? Urgency and enthusiasm, right?
Recklessness.
Okay.
Yeah, there is one reward. It's called the MVP. Yeah. If you want to talk into, you know, more, you know, team oriented, you know, awards and things like that, maybe that's more applicable. But yeah, it was a little ironic to pick up on that.
That is odd that he would say something like that, and his number one guy is probably the most urgent, recklessly enthusiastic guy in the league. Yeah.
It is funny. I kind of mentioned that in my story. But Sam and Westbrook are very similar in a lot of ways. They're like they're very put together people. They're very organized. They're kind of controlling in some ways, you know, like they mm-hmm. they like control of their situations. Like Westbrook, he does plan. Like if you look at the way he lives his life, like he is he's a guy who thinks ahead on a lot of things in his life, you know? But his style on the court obviously reflects totally differently. And it is funny. But Presti is anybody going to accuse Sam Presti of not thinking enough about moves before he makes them?
Not at all.
You can disagree with them. You can disagree with them. But that he doesn't think enough is not a fair, is not a proper criticism.
I think that's the one thing that a lot of fans and a lot of, you know, and honestly, a lot of people that don't cover the Thunder but just cover sports here in Oklahoma City don't understand about Sam Presti is because he comes across as such a numbers guy and, you know, like your accountant or, you know, just that guy who does his taxes 2 months early. He comes across as that guy. They don't understand what a maverick he is when it comes to wheeling and dealing and getting stuff done throughout the league. And so, you know, he says something like that. But the truth of the matter is he's sitting there trying to just fleece anybody he absolutely can by fast talking them and putting them in circles, you know?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Presti. And one of the common complaints I got throughout the year, like leading up to the trade deadline, or not even leading up to it, but just like in November and December, you know, 2 months, 3 months before the trade deadline, where why is this team not making any moves? Why are they not making trades? Like the roster obviously doesn't fit Westbrook perfectly. The offense is obviously never going to be great. Why aren't they making moves? And first off, I would say to you that the Thunder have made more trades than almost any organization in the NBA since Presti came into the GM spot that final year with the Sonics. I think that was 2007. And since that year, the Thunder have made almost as many trades as any other organization. And that's not – there's no right way or wrong way to do it. Like, when was the last time the Spurs made a trade? Was it that didn't involve a draft pick, like, on draft night? When was the last time? I can't think of it. Like, the Spurs never trade.
What, George Hill for Kawhi Leonard?
But that was a draft pick on draft night.
Right, gotcha. As far as like a player for player type trade,
when was the last time they made a deadline deal?
Oh, deadline deal. I honestly
deadline can't, deal, it, summer deal, anything.
Right,
something that didn't involve getting a draft guy that they like. Like it was for the 15th pick, and they obviously knew they wanted Kawhi, but that was just a trade for the 15th pick when they traded for Kawhi, and that was also like 6 years ago.
Wasn't that like picking up Steven Jackson like off the trash heap after the trade deadline, and then getting rid of him right before the playoffs?
Didn't they claim him off waivers?
No, that was a Richard Jefferson for Steven Jackson.
Oh yeah, great call, yeah. Jerry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why you had me on.
Yeah. And that was like a 13th man deal too.
No, absolutely, and they dropped him before the playoffs,
right? Because he's causing a ruckus. Yeah, I mean, they brought in Tracy McGrady at the end of the year in 2013.
Steven Jackson hung around for an additional season, but then he was let go before the playoffs the following year.
Is that what pushed Tracy McGrady over into the Hall of Fame? Is because he joined the Spurs?
Because he got a finals appearance, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering why, how that happened.
That was finally his finals appearance. But like the Spurs don't make deals. Like there's not a right and a wrong way to go about it. But the calls for, you know, Sam Presti needs to make a deal. Sam Presti needs to make a deal. It's like, who was making trades in December? There wasn't an organization that made a trade in December. Like, that's not a thing. He made a trade three games into the season. I mean, look back at the biggest NBA trades over the last, 12 months. How many of them involved the Thunder? Three.
Yeah.
You got the Jeremy Grant deal, you got the Oladipo deal, and you got the Gibson deal.
Here's what you don't understand, though, Fred, is the desperation that Oklahoma City fans felt. Like, they didn't understand, how the heck are we not into the 4 or 3 seed at this point in the season? What is going on?
Right. Foreign territory.
Yep. No one is significantly hurt. Like, how is the Thunder not the 3 or 4 seed? Sam Presti has to be doing something wrong. It really is a victim of his own success. Just your everyday fans are wondering how it's not working. And you say, well, they lost Kevin Durant, and no one wanted to hear it. That made sense to no one, because the Thunder have been just so – What did he say today? They had the third top three record in the NBA in the last 8 years.
Number two in the last night since they moved to Oklahoma City.
So Oklahoma City fans are like, yeah, no, that we should be either a 4 or a 3 seed, and this makes no sense. So Sam Presti must be doing something wrong. Like, that is legitimately the thinking of not only just some of the fans, but people who cover this thing.
Well, let's make sense of it. John, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, and I will preface the trivia question by saying this is not a trick question, okay?
Okay.
It's a two-part question. The first part is, how many teams are in the Western Conference?
Hey, hang on. Let me take my shoes off. 1, 2, 3. I count 15.
How many teams can finish in the Western Conference's top 3 seeds?
Out of 15. So how many out of the top 15 could finish in the top 3?
Yes. How many? Okay. What do you think?
Okay, hang on.
Take a stab at it.
I got to boot up my Windows 95 computer here so I can run calculator. I think 3 is the answer you're looking for.
Wow, I'm impressed that you got that right.
Yeah. Right.
That's how you make sense of it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
And then throw the salt in the wound, Fred, that James Harden is the one who is leading Houston to this, you know, this championship contending caliber team. And I have never heard so many. Well, if you go back to 2012, like, hell, I don't even know what happened in 2012.
Right.
Like, I can't tell you a song from 2012. I can't tell you my favorite TV show. I was married, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Jerry, that's probably because of all the acid you were doing in 2012.
So I a couple of thoughts to interject here. Number one, I'm stunned that you have forgotten the legendary Nando DiColo for Austin Day trade of 2014. Okay.
Trivia question, where does Nando DiColo play now?
Not in the United States.
Isn't he with CSKA Moscow?
That sounds right. I think so, because I think he's actually like a legitimate NBA player that's playing overseas.
Let me check my trading cards. Hold on.
Yeah. Second point, every time that I hear stuff like, you know, why don't they make a move? The one thing that we're never going to know, we don't know what deals were actually on the table. You know, unless you know that, how can you really judge whether, you know, whether a theoretical trade should have gone through? I don't know. I just feel like there is so much criticism when you don't actually know what's gone across a guy's desk.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to start with this about the, you know, I work from 12 to 3 on the franchise. Thanks to G-Man. Thanks for listening. But I work 12 to 3. And, you know, how many deadline shows have we done where the NBA trading deadline ends during our show? And it is central time. It's like 2:10 in the afternoon. Trade deadline has been over for 10 minutes. And we're still talking about the speculative trade of Brooke Lopez coming to Oklahoma City.
Like, yeah. Right.
Because everything was done, you know, the way Sam Presti does it, 10 minutes later, who's Enes Kanter?
Right.
And we're having to look this guy up. So, I mean, like you said, John, I never question what this guy has in mind. And I work with guys who are like, well, you know, Jimmy Butler's not happy. I'd make a call. Like, really? You would do that now? You didn't do that months ago? Is it okay? Well, that's, yeah. Wow. How did you get this job?
Unhappy player on market. Make call. Wow.
Fred, did you happen, you were there at the press conference, did you ask him when he sees an unhappy player, does he call him?
Should I ask him, when are you getting Paul George? That should have been my question. And look, I don't want to sit here and pretend like Sam Presti is beyond criticism. That's not the case.
There's
lots of criticism. That Ronnie Price contract was not as damaging as it was remarkably confusing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't as damaging as it was just kind of totally inexplicable. And I know the organization really liked Ronnie Price at the time, and just because I know Presti had reached out to him in, like, a few consecutive off seasons, or at least a few consecutive off seasons when he was available, and they hadn't actually gotten him. But, like, giving Ronnie – there was no market for a second year for Ronnie Price. There was no market on a second year for Ronnie Price, and they gave him a second guaranteed season, and then they waived him in the offseason. Now they have to pay Ronnie Price, what, 2.6 or 2.4? 2.6 or 2.4, I forget, $1 million next year, which counts against their cap. And it's not going to kill him, but, hey, they're approaching the luxury tax, and that could be a difference in the luxury tax. Like, that is a inexplicably terrible move.
And especially from this guy, too, because he held on to trade exceptions like they were trading cards. And, you know, to be negative 2.4, 2.6 to a guy who would hold on to, you know, $2 million in an exception just so he could have it, it is a weird thing for that guy to do.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, look, there's more. The inability to find a quality backup point guard, and it wasn't for lack of trying. They tried in Cameron Payne, didn't work. Traded Cameron Payne, they figured Norris Cole would be that guy, didn't work. Like, that was a misevaluation, and it was a problematic process when they're playing Samaje Christen a bunch of minutes until the playoffs, when they realize, oh shoot, when, you know, they're in dire times, they're down 3-1, and they realize, oh shoot, we can't play any of these guys. And Victor Oladipo is going to have to play backup point guard, even though Billy Donovan didn't play him a backup point guard the entire season. I mean, there are lots of ways they've mismanaged. You know, they messed up on the McGarry pick. Obviously, they misevaluated, you know, how he was going to pan out. Forget physically. They misevaluated how he was going to pan out mentally, because he had the suspension in college, and then obviously it just spiraled out of control once he got into the NBA, and that was a misevaluation on their part. And you know, there are other mistakes that they made, which are big ones. But you have to contextualize these things the right way. Like, a few bad moves doesn't make someone a bad GM. Just like a few missed shots doesn't make, or a few turnovers doesn't make someone a bad player. And a few good ones doesn't make him good. Like, there are guys who have made good moves, and you say, what is that guy doing? Like, it's all part of a greater idea. GM's real number one job is to enforce a philosophy and kind of string together a bunch of transactions and parts of culture that make sense within the organization's philosophy. And overall, I think Presti has done a pretty good job at that.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead, John.
John, go ahead.
I was going to just quickly, one example of, you're right, a guy that can make one or two good moves and it doesn't mean that he's a great GM. There's this guy in Detroit. I think his name is Joe Dumars. Totally overrated as an executive. Go ahead. Your turn, Jerry.
Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva were going to be the future of the NBA, but I digress. Listen, unfortunately, this Rockets series showed all the back pimples of what the Thunder, you know, did wrong this season. I mean, just the backup point guard, the bench, you know, was just so atrocious that, you know, the normal everyday guy that approaches Sam Presti in the grocery store could see it. The usage rate of Westbrook, the inability to figure out what Enes Kanter's role was actually a season-long issue. And yeah, there were some great times, but there were some terrible times. So I had rarely seen a playoff series where the winning team showed off like almost every single one of the bad components that was in the losing team. I mean, I just, everything was laid out in a plate for you at the end of game five. You're like, well, this is why the Thunder lost, and this is why they were the way they were all season.
John, you got anything to add to that one?
No, I think Jerry has thoroughly covered it all. Yeah, that sounds...
Yeah, that's what I do.
you guys have anything else you want to talk about before we take off?
I want to ask real quick, if I could, So what's the deal? I wasn't allowed to be on this thing. It wasn't that hard. I mean, it's real simple. We talked about basketball. We talked about the Thunder, which two things I know a ton about.
Maybe I want someone who like has the respect to just not do house chores in the middle of the podcast. Maybe that's all it is.
These leaves are not going to pick themselves up. Okay, they're going to be out in the yard if I don't do it, Fred. So I'm sorry that I had to live my life around this, but that's the kind of duality in man that I am. So I do appreciate you having me on.
John, anything to add?
No, I think Jerry pretty well covered it all there.
All right, Jerry, what do you guys have to plug? I know you guys are the hosts of the NBA Insider Show Saturday mornings on the franchise, but I don't think that's not quite anymore at the moment, right?
I have some breaking news for John on this, where I actually talked to our boss today. Very happy with this season's coverage. And next year, there's going to be a little bit of a rebrand. There's going to be a push on it, just a little bit more than it has this season, which is exciting for John and I to get things done with that. John, of course, is our continual capologist and NBA insider that we keep year-round and does a fantastic job doing that. And we're going to continue with the NBA Insider Show all the way through draft day. And don't tell anybody, and I, you know, your listeners, Fred, they get a sneak peek on this. There's rumors that there might be a live draft show.
Ooh.
That we'll be doing. So
fun time.
What do you think about those apples, John?
That would
be fun. That would be fun.
Those apples sound golden delicious.
I'm a Granny Smith kind of guy, but you know.
You are a granny.
But yeah, that's what we got going. And John, do you have anything to add there?
No, I think Jerry Rail pretty well covered it there.
All right, and Jerry, you're TV's Jerry on Twitter.
At TV's Jerry, I'm just not a basketball nerd. I enjoy the finer things in life. So if you
and
want,
Jerry, why don't you give John's Twitter as well since you're coming?
It is at John M. Hamm, not the actor John Hamm, but John M. Hamm, and he also is a delight to follow. And if you want a good souffle recipe, or if you need to know the cap limitations of the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, you can get both of those like within 5 minutes of John. So good stuff.
All right, John, what you got?
Thanks for
all right.
Yep. Well, that's why we're the best NBA show in the business.
There you go. Jerry talks for John, and John just kind of sits there quietly and says, "Good job." That's mostly the show. But seriously, go listen to the NBA Insider Show if you are a talk radio person. If you like talk radio, if you listen to it, you're in Oklahoma City. It's 107.7 franchise. They're great. They're funny. Analysis is great, and John usually has more to say than he does today. So that'll be good. As for me, I'm still on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, as of now. I know I didn't do the show yesterday. That was just because I took a long weekend, so I didn't do any work on Sunday because I didn't want to, and that's really the only reason why. But I am back for at least the rest of the week, every day this week, and then I'm going to figure out an off-season schedule beyond that, maybe twice a week, maybe 3 days a week. But I will be podcasting, updating, all that stuff, and I'm going to figure out how I'm going to be doing my off-season schedule from there. You can head out to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder, check out the show there. If you have questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. I'm still writing 5-6 days a week on the Thunder. I'm going to take a day or two a week off writing just because there's not quite enough, and I take my weekends over the summer. So that'll be there. But that's going to do it for today. Thanks to John. No thanks to Jerry, obviously.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I'll be back tomorrow, though. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.